We are all born with an innate power to influence others. As babies, our survival depended on it. Our cries and smiles were our first tools of persuasion. Yet somewhere along the way, many of us lost this natural ability, buried under societal expectations to be obedient, wait our turn, and not take up space. Zoe Chance's Influence is Your Superpower has become a sensation among business leaders and social changemakers alike, with figures like Oprah Winfrey and Adam Grant praising its transformative approach. The book has been translated into over 20 languages and adopted in corporate training programs worldwide. What makes this work stand out in the crowded field of influence literature is its refreshing perspective. True influence isn't about manipulation or coercion. It's about becoming someone others genuinely want to say yes to. Remember when you were a child, fearlessly asking for what you wanted? That natural ability to influence others is your birthright. Interpersonal influence is humanity's evolutionary advantage. It's how we've survived and thrived as a species. Yet as we grow up, we're often taught to suppress this instinct, creating a complicated relationship with influence. Many kind, intelligent people misunderstand what true influence means. They equate being influential with being pushy, believe facts alone drive decisions, or think influence means forcing resistant people to bend to their will. These misperceptions couldn't be further from the truth. The reality is that being influential actually makes you more influential. Facts rarely drive decisions on their own. There's an enormous gap between what people value and how they actually behave. And true influence isn't about overcoming resistance. It's about building enthusiastic allies. Even experienced negotiators know that collaboration beats combat. How you ask for something matters far more than what you're asking for. And contrary to what many believe, you don't need special charisma to be influential. You simply need to understand how human decision-making really works. The journey to influence begins with understanding what you truly want, your temel. This Mongolian word describes the creative passion seen in the look in the eye of a horse where it wants to go, regardless of the rider's wishes. Children naturally possess this quality. They know exactly what they want and aren't afraid to pursue it. As adults, we can rediscover this clarity through experimentation and experience. When we reconnect with our natural persuasive powers and strengthen them thoughtfully, we improve life not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us. True influence isn't rocket science, but it is science, and also, at its heart, a love story. Our understanding of influence is fundamentally flawed because we misunderstand how human decision-making works. We like to think of ourselves as rational beings who carefully weigh evidence before making choices. The reality is far more primal. Think of alligators at Gatorland, ancient predators operating with minimal brain power, responding only to immediate threats or easy opportunities while ignoring everything else. This primal cognitive process mirrors much of our own decision-making, though we prefer not to admit it. Behavioral economists identify two systems in our brains. System 1, which Chance calls the gator, operates quickly and unconsciously through instincts and habits, while System 2, the judge, is conscious, rational, and deliberate, but requires significant mental effort. We mistakenly believe our rational mind controls most decisions, but research suggests the gator may be responsible for up to 95% of our choices. This applies to everyone, regardless of intelligence or profession. A striking study of Israeli parole decisions revealed that judges granted parole 65% of the time at the beginning of sessions, but nearly 0% by session's end. After breaks, approval rates returned to 65%. As judges tired, they defaulted to the easier option, denying parole, showing how even trained legal minds revert to gator-driven decisions when fatigued. Our instantaneous emotional reactions powerfully influence consequential judgments. College students accurately predicted professors' end-of-year evaluations from silent 6-second teaching clips. Even with garbled 10-second audio clips, participants could predict which surgeons had been sued for malpractice. Alexander Todorov showed that 1-second exposure to political candidates' faces predicted congressional race outcomes with 70% accuracy. the gator influences the judge more than vice versa. Anatomically, more neural fibers run from emotional centers to reasoning centers than the opposite direction. Our emotional brain filters what reaches conscious awareness through selective attention, seeking information confirming what we want to believe while avoiding uncomfortable truths. Even reasoning is biased. Our rational minds often simply rationalize our gut reactions. When influencing behavior, remember that ease is the single best predictor of behavior, better than motivation, intentions, price, quality, or satisfaction. People invariably take the path of least resistance. Break big asks into small steps, reduce perceived effort, and remember that nobody has self-control when depleted, tired, busy, stressed, or hungry. Most people, especially nice ones, struggle to say no due to social norms around politeness. Yet learning to say no is essential for developing true influence. Consider Stanislav Petrov, the Soviet duty officer who saved the world in 1983 by saying "Niet" when his early warning system detected American missiles. Rather than following protocol, Petrov trusted his instinct that something didn't add up. His refusal to act prevented nuclear retaliation and saved billions of lives. The 24-hour no challenge, declining all requests and invitations for a full day, reveals how often our gut reactions are based on compliance rather than genuine desire. The key is to be warm, clear, and firm without over-explaining. No is a complete sentence, and no thank you is a polite complete sentence. Saying no creates vital boundaries. Research shows that both the most and least successful givers are generous, but successful givers set boundaries to avoid burnout. People-pleasing leads to chronic scarcity of time, energy, and mental bandwidth. When we don't set boundaries, our kindness can sap our strength and diminish our influence. A hidden benefit of saying no is building resilience to rejection. The most successful influencers hear no as simply no to this for now, rather than personal rejection. Like a stress immune system, tolerance for rejection becomes conditioned through exposure. Paradoxically, saying no makes you more comfortable asking for what you want. When you're clear about your own boundaries, you convey confidence and inspire trust. Your requests become relaxed invitations rather than needy pleas. Research shows we dramatically underestimate others' willingness to help. In studies by Flynn and Bones, strangers were 2-3 times more likely to grant favors than participants expected. We focus on the burden of our requests, while recipients focus on how hard it is to say no. Helping actually triggers dopamine and creates happiness. Even toddlers show more joy giving away treats than receiving them. When asking for what you want, be direct. Many people only hint rather than truly asking, use soft asks like how would you feel about, and make bigger requests than you think reasonable. In Cialdini's Juvenile Delinquents at the Zoo study, people who declined an outrageous request were 3 times more likely to accept a smaller request than those only asked about the smaller request initially. Charisma is the most requested influence skill, yet it operates through paradoxes. Trying to be charismatic has the opposite effect, and self-focus undermines charisma. Research by James Pennebaker reveals that people who feel less powerful use more self-referential language, I, me, my. This self-focus stems not from insecurity, but from feelings of vulnerability. When we're physically or emotionally vulnerable, our attention naturally turns inward. The first secret to charisma is shifting focus away from yourself to others. Questions effectively transfer attention, and research shows people enjoy talking about themselves so much they'll forego money just to share personal details. Studies by Allison Wood Brooks reveal that people who ask more questions during interactions are better liked, with follow-up questions creating even stronger connections. A simple technique is using people's names more often, which serves as both a cue to focus outward and activates the listener's self-referential brain regions. The author's neighbor Kevin, nicknamed the Mayor of Somerville, made everyone like him by repeatedly using their names despite its oddness. Voice quality significantly affects perceived charisma. While research shows lower-pitched voices are judged as more competent and dominant, the key isn't artificially lowering your voice, but finding your natural low register through relaxation. When nervous, people constrict their throats, raising pitch or creating vocal fry. Speaking from a relaxed diaphragm and throat signals confidence because it's physically impossible when tense. Public speaking creates a time warp where nervous speakers experience time differently than their audience. When speakers feel nervous, their heightened awareness makes time seem to slow down for them, causing them to rush through material while listeners struggle to keep up. The solution is the power of the pause, deliberately pausing at every period and comma, slowing down until it feels too slow, which the audience will perceive as just right. The second secret to stage presence is shining, creating a powerful one-on-one connection with audience members. This embodies the third paradox of charisma. To connect with many people, connect with one. Shining requires focusing completely on one person at a time, making them feel like the only other person in the room. The connection created is described as an exchange of energy, something like love, where both parties feel simultaneously connected, vulnerable, and powerful. Psychological illusionist Darren Brown demonstrates how framing works. By directing attention in one way, he controls what people notice and miss. Framing shapes perception and thought patterns. When someone creates a strong frame, like milk and snow when listing white things, it becomes difficult to think outside that frame. The Bigger and Better game illustrates framing's power. MBA students starting with a paperclip made successive trades for increasingly valuable items. Two students, Manus and Tom, framed their mission as getting a car to donate to charity. Wearing animal onesies, they made 10 trades in 1 week, ultimately acquiring a Volkswagen Jetta from a car dealership. The car was donated to a refugee family, transforming an Afghan mother's life by eliminating her 2-hour bus commute to work. Three powerful frames can transform how people perceive your message. 1. Monumental frames present something as extremely important, motivating through significance, scope, or fear of missing out. Organizations use these in mission statements, like General Motors' vision of zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion. 2. Manageable frames make overwhelming problems feel solvable. A credit card debt experiment where customers allocated payments by spending category rather than facing their entire balance resulted in 12% faster repayment. 3. Mysterious frames evoke curiosity and intrigue, drawing people in through the unknown. These frames can be combined for maximum effect. Marie Kondo's bestseller, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, masterfully combines all three frames in just 6 words. Life-changing, monumental, magic, mysterious, and tidying up, manageable. This framing helped sell over 11 million copies in 40 languages and launch a TV show about house cleaning. The right frame can completely transform your approach to work. When restaurateur Danny Meyer suggested everyone is in the hospitality business, the author shifted from seeing herself as a Jedi master teaching mind tricks to being a host of a party. This frame change dramatically altered her perspective, focusing on students rather than herself, serving rather than controlling, and releasing herself from perfectionism. Our brains are wired for threat detection and loss aversion, evolutionary traits that profoundly influence how we respond to persuasion attempts. We especially hate giving up freedom, triggering psychological reactance, our inner 2-year-old screaming, "Don't tell me what to do." This defensive response is particularly strong when we feel our autonomy is threatened, whether in personal relationships, professional settings, or consumer choices. Research shows this reaction can be so powerful that people will often choose a less desirable option simply to maintain their sense of control. Rather than pushing back against objections, we should handle resistance like Aikido masters, witnessing resistance without judgment and creating space for others to express concerns. This martial arts metaphor is particularly apt because Aikido focuses on redirecting energy rather than opposing it directly. Effective techniques include articulating potential objections before they're raised. I know you might be thinking, reflecting feelings back, it sounds like you're concerned about. Exploring resistance with curiosity, help me understand what concerns you most, and affirming freedom of choice throughout the conversation. When offering freedom, phrases like no pressure, feel free to say no, or I know you must be busy acknowledge the other person's control and actually increase the likelihood of cooperation. The soft ask technique uses hypothetical questions to gauge interest without forcing decisions. Would you hypothetically be interested in, or what would you think about? For persistence in professional settings, the kindly Brontosaurus approach involves patient, polite waiting in someone's peripheral vision with an optimistic demeanor, a technique particularly effective in customer service situations. Deep listening helps overcome our natural tendency to caricature opposing views, a phenomenon called false polarization bias, where we assume others' positions are more extreme than they actually are. Research shows that when we hear someone's voice rather than just reading their words, we recognize their humanity and find them 30% more intelligent and thoughtful. Listen progressively. First, for conscious thoughts. What are they saying? Then, for feelings. What emotions underlie their words? Then, for unspoken thoughts. What aren't they saying? And finally, for underlying values. What matters most to them? After listening, reflecting back what you heard helps the other person feel understood and calms their stress response, creating a physiological state more conducive to productive dialogue. The empathy challenge exercise involves listening to three people who disagree with you while assuming they're smart and well-intentioned, identifying their core values, and finding common ground. This structured approach requires suspending judgment and practicing genuine curiosity. While these conversations rarely change deeply held political opinions, they consistently develop empathy and reveal common values like caring for others, freedom, and authenticity. Studies show that such conversations can reduce political polarization by up to 50% and increase willingness to engage with opposing viewpoints in the future. Negotiation doesn't have to be confrontational. It's simply a conversation aimed at reaching agreement. The magic question, what would it take, catalyzes creativity, conveys respect, uncovers important information, and shifts conversations from confrontation to collaboration. Most potential negotiations fail because people don't realize negotiating is possible. An Accenture study found many executives dissatisfied with pay and opportunities had never attempted to negotiate, though 72% of those who did succeeded. The key is moving beyond the win-lose mindset to see negotiations as opportunities for both sides to add value. Three value creation questions help build a bigger pie. How could this be even better for me? How could it be even better for them? And who else could benefit? For the first question, dream big, beyond just money. Consider flexible work arrangements, educational opportunities, or personal needs. For the second, understand the other party's priorities and recognize that representatives may have different interests than their organizations. The third question expands thinking to include stakeholders beyond the immediate negotiation. Offering choices is one of the simplest ways to inspire collaboration. When people have options, they feel in control rather than pressured. Research shows people were far more likely to purchase products when presented with alternatives than when shown just one option. Present alternatives while still making recommendations, offer multiple equivalent simultaneous offers that you'd be equally happy with, or employ the Goldilocks strategy, where you present three options, knowing people tend to favor middle options. When negotiating with difficult people, focus on leverage rather than collaboration. People may be difficult for benign reasons. They're scared, inexperienced, or have reached their bottom line. Know your outside options, state what you want clearly, and use the power of silence. Responding to aggression without anger becomes almost a spiritual practice. Instead of the walkaway bluff, threatening to leave unless demands are met, use the face-saving Plan B strategy, which demonstrates strength in a submissive posture by referencing alternatives while expressing hope for agreement. This prevents triggering the other party's threat response. If they agree, they feel generous rather than coerced. Like sharks that can detect electromagnetic fields through specialized organs, predatory people are drawn to power and willing to manipulate others for their own gain. Even intelligent people miss warning signs of manipulation, as con artists deliberately trigger strong emotions like fear, greed, lust, or anger to cloud judgment. 9 red flags can help identify manipulation attempts. 1. The ether, a fuzzy emotional state where victims can't think clearly. When in this state, people make irrational decisions they later can't explain. 2. Urgency, creating an irrational gate-closing panic that leads to poor decision-making. 3. Exclusivity, appealing to our desire for status and worthiness, often bolstered by flattery and FOMO. 4. Offers too good to be true, exploiting our tendency to focus on the probably in probably too good to be true. 5. Half-truths and exaggerations that signal casual treatment of facts. 6. Magical thinking about money, like the law of attraction, which makes people vulnerable by suggesting thoughts alone can manifest wealth. 7. Ignoring your firm no, showing disregard for boundaries. 8. Alternating hot and cold treatment or good cop, bad cop routines that create psychological stress and compliance. 9. A funny feeling, our intuition that something's wrong, which security expert Gavin DeBecker notes most crime victims experienced but ignored. Being nice doesn't mean being defenseless. When the author was 16, she and an exchange student named Marie accepted a ride from strangers in Italy, only to discover the car was heading in the wrong direction with missing door handles. While the author froze in fear, Marie erupted in fury, screaming and kicking until the men stopped and let them out. Years later, when a stranger made uncomfortable comments about the author's daughter, she firmly ordered him to leave. These experiences taught her that being a nice person doesn't mean you can't defend yourself, and being a guardian doesn't mean looking like an angel. Influence is a living web where our actions create ripple effects beyond what we can see. The Latin root influere means to flow in, like a river, a reminder that influence is interconnected and dynamic, much like water spreading through countless tributaries. Every interaction, decision, and gesture ripples outward in ways we often cannot predict or fully comprehend. History's turning points rarely have single heroes, but rather emerge from interconnected networks of influence. Consider the Danish people saving 99% of their Jewish neighbors during the Holocaust, a feat accomplished not through one leader's actions, but through thousands of individual choices to help, from shopkeepers providing safe houses to fishermen coordinating midnight boat crossings. Similarly, the Cajun Navy during Hurricane Katrina demonstrated how informal networks of boat owners, coordinating through basic radio communications, rescued thousands when formal systems were overwhelmed. These examples show how influence multiplies through networks of ordinary people taking extraordinary action. When we dream bigger, we face both external and internal adversaries. Even accomplished leaders and changemakers frequently battle imposter syndrome and self-doubt. The story of Belabez Benkrata organizing Tunisia's first televised presidential debates illustrates the power of influence tools in creating historic change. Despite facing a deeply entrenched authoritarian system, skeptical media outlets, and candidates who had never participated in debates, he strategically framed his vision as, "Let Tunisia make history once more, connecting to national pride and democratic aspirations." By building relationships with key stakeholders and addressing their concerns one by one, he secured participation from 24 of 26 candidates. The debates became a watershed moment, watched by over half of Tunisia's population and millions across the Arab world, demonstrating how influence can catalyze democratic transformation. Life presents us with countless choice points where we can step forward as protagonists or supporting characters. We don't need to change the entire world. Making a difference within our families, workplaces, or communities is meaningful enough. Whether launching a neighborhood recycling program, mentoring a colleague, or standing up against workplace discrimination, these acts plant seeds of influence that often bloom in unexpected ways and places. The journey of influence is fundamentally about human connection and shared purpose. When we truly understand the psychology of decision-making, establish clear boundaries that earn respect, develop authentic charisma through genuine interest in others, frame messages that resonate with deep values, work with rather than against resistance, negotiate with creativity and empathy, and protect ourselves from manipulation, we unlock our natural capacity for positive influence. We become people others genuinely want to follow and support, not through pressure or coercion, but through authentic engagement that honors human dignity and agency. This kind of influence creates lasting change because it transforms relationships and systems from the inside out.